you take the scenarios that challenge you, and that is like one of the very few times you get to redefine yourself.
Welcome to the Shakeout Podcast. I'm your host, Kate Van Buskirk. Over the summer, fans across the country tuned into CTV to watch their favorite pairs compete for the title of the Amazing Race Canada. One of the most popular teams was made up of two Canadian track stars, Olympic 400-meter hurdler Sarah Wells and two-time Canadian 100-meter champion Sam Effa. Although the duo fell just shy of the Amazing Race Canada crown, they fought courageously throughout the competition and ended the race in a very close second place. Sarah and Sam are highly accomplished both on and off the track. They've represented Canada on over a dozen national teams, but their passion and success extends well beyond their athletic careers. These two are deeply involved in their communities, taking on the roles of motivational speakers and community engagement leaders. Sarah is the founder of the Believe Initiative, a program that teaches resilience and self-belief to young people. Sam is an ambassador with Classroom Champions, a virtual mentorship program that connects him with students from across North America. These athletes live the messages they preach. They both have had near career-ending injuries and have had to employ the tools they teach others in overcoming their own hurdles. These tools also serve them well as they engaged in grueling physical and mental challenges as contestants on the Amazing Race Canada. Sam and Sarah have been professional athletes for over a decade, but this race was unlike any they'd ever run. Earlier this week, I sat down with these two to chat about competing on reality TV, the challenges and thrills they faced, and what they learned from the experience. Sam and Sarah, we're so excited to have you on the Shakeout. And I know you can't give away all the secrets of TV magic, but as much as you're able to, let's start by talking about your journey getting to the Amazing Race Canada.
Yeah.
Okay. So our journey to the Amazing Race Canada, it was interesting. I had known about the first season. I'd watched it. It went from the American version to the Canadian version. Super excited. Six seasons later, I remember seeing the posting online, and initially the posting had second chances. So I thought to myself, okay, come back from surgery, work in the community. Great story. I had heard about season six, and that had been the hero season. So I was like, okay, like I got to do this. There was like one or two days before the closing of the actual applications. And I thought to myself, okay, in terms of partner, who do I know that's resilient? Who do I know has come back from injury? Who do I know has an amazing story and inspires the community? Naturally, it was Sarah. So because we only had like 1 or 2 days, we're always flying, you know, whether it's competing or speaking at an event. We had two chances because we only had about, I would say like what, 30 minutes to make a video.
Yeah.
So we got to get through this. So we did two takes, believe it or not, just like a selfie video. Yeah. And we basically just told our stories. I spoke on Classroom Champions. Sarah, she spoke on the Believe Initiative, and it was just supernatural. The great thing about it is I remember thinking to myself, if we get through this, I mean, this is just proving that, you know, we both did work in marketing, that we can market ourselves, that we're more than just athletes. And I mean, I've heard Sarah's story a ton of times, but hearing it on the spot and just her authentically just speaking about how she goes into communities, she helps students, anybody really, to find their passion was super inspiring. And then I told my story about mentoring, and it just came together naturally. Two takes, selfie video, we sent it in. And here we are, Amazing Race Canada.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, like Sam said, we are people who feel very passionately about our messaging and like our mission to inspire. And I think that shone through. And so we feel lucky that they saw that and wanted that to be part of the branding. And so, yeah, I mean, what a wild ride.
Yeah, what a wild ride.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So you were not only teammates on the Amazing Race Canada, but you've also been Team Canada teammates. So can you tell us about how you met and how your friendship developed to the point of trusting each other enough to take on this huge challenge together?
So yeah, Sam and I have known each other like almost a decade now, which is crazy. Yeah. We met back doing the NACAC championships, and that was in 2010.
Yeah.
And we kind of just bonded over, I think, like our passion for sport at that time. Mm-hmm. And obviously, like, Sam's such a good dude. It's hard not to love him, you know? And so from that point, we had stayed in touch loosely, but like, we weren't like the best of friends. That by the time we went on The Amazing Race, like, we were fortunate that our worlds, you know, being on The Amazing Race, spending all that time together, when we really thought about it, we're like, wow, actually so many of our worlds connect. Mm-hmm. Like, we know each other through sport and we know that whole circle to be able to like chat through that when we were bored. We also were both RBC Olympians. And so we knew like a whole world of that. We also have like been, you know, over to each other's house for different like birthday parties, or like, I know Sam's girlfriend, like he knows my boyfriend. And so it's just like so many worlds that have, like, we've brought each other into each other's lives, that it's made it like a much more colorful friendship than just like we know each other through track. Of course, that's what brought us together and that's great. But that depth of our friendship was cool, because then when we were bored, so bored on The Amazing Race for long travel days or anything like that, we had so much to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, to add to that, I think one story you're forgetting. I remember realizing how great of a friend Sarah could be when I first moved to Toronto. So I had my hip surgery, and this would have been in 2014. So we had known each other, like NACAC, a couple NACACs, other teams, world champs. And I had hip surgery. So I had two labral tears, both my hips. It was a brutal time to move to a new city, not know anybody. Sucks. But I remember just scrolling through my contacts and I'm like, who do I know? Sarah's name came up and I was like, you know what? I'm going to reach out to Sarah. I need a bit of support. And realistically, at the time, I actually needed to get to physio downtown. So
that was a real reason.
This is, I mean, it was part of the reason. Okay, it was a big part. So she came and picked me up in her smart car. And just post-surgery, I wasn't supposed to bend further than 90 degrees. Anyway, jumped in her smart car. Definitely was crunched in there.
It's like a toy car. It's like Sam was a Polly Pocket for a real quick second.
Exactly. But she took me to physio downtown, which was like, I know it was so out of your way. It was like a good hour and a half out of your way. And she stayed there for the physio. I don't say this enough, but it was like, how do you, I mean, having friends like that is just like, I know for me, that's super special. I have never done that to that level of somebody that I wasn't super close with. So I always remember that. And I felt like that was the moment that I was like, okay, Sarah's legit. She's authentic and she likes to help people. That's when we became like, I'd say like pretty good friends.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Throughout the course of this show, you're thrown into all these really arduous, stressful situations that I imagine would both really test and or reinforce a friendship. What are some examples of situations throughout The Amazing Race Canada that reinforced your bond as teammates?
I think for me, one of the scariest challenges I had to do was diving under the ice in the Arctic. There was like a meter thick of ice across the whole lake. They had carved out like a human-sized hole. We had to slither in. And like, I had to go under the ice, grab the clue, and come up the other side. I can't swim. I'm a land animal. I'm a runner. That's what I'm here for. And I did not want to do that. And I was petrified and so scared. While I'm in the water, having a full-out panic attack, hyperventilating, I remember hearing Sam say, I'm proud of you either way, which is so sweet, because there was a real possibility that I don't overcome that fear and I get out of the water, because I was to the point of like hyperventilating, like freaking out, and I felt no pressure from Sam to do something that really scared me. And so, you know, like, what an incredible teammate and partner to have on the show when I want to do it for him. And I'm like, I'm building myself up, because it's like, I'm going to do it for you, Sam. Like, I'm going to. But if I don't, will we still be friends?
Aw, thank you. Dang.
I just remember words of encouragement like that. Mm. And I think that shows the friendship that I'm so fortunate to have from Sam.
I think it's one thing to go through one fear and try and get through that one fear, but cold and water and in Gracelave Lake. Like, you did your thing and I'm super proud. That's awesome.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks.
Our very first challenge, it was brutal for me anyway. Actually for both of us. For the stress that I put Sarah on. So long story short, I had to do a voiceover for The Lion King. It's just like in, you know, grade 10 or 11 when your teacher tells you to read the full question. Picture a clue. I didn't read the full question of the clue. I didn't read the details. I just was like, okay, get in there, memorize the script. And essentially I didn't need to memorize and I wasted a good hour. So where this goes is we were in dead last and we had a moment on this first leg where Sarah just like, she rose to the occasion. We had flown from Toronto to Kamloops, BC, and she had to drop this ball in Ajax mine. So this is a zip line. I feel like that was like 500 feet up. Don't quote me, but I looked high. I'm terrified of heights. So anyway, seeing Sarah put us from, we were essentially last to second in the matter of moments was huge. She always talks about pressure being a privilege, and seeing her rise to the occasion and pull us through, I was like, okay, this elevated us as friends, because I guess I just like fed off of that energy. I fed off of that motivation, that drive. And I think we just continue to this day, we continue to just kind of build on that. And I look at her as like a really big inspiration to be able to focus and get the job done. I was like, damn, okay. Can I say damn? Yeah. But yeah, that was a moment I felt like we were like, okay, we're going to win this.
Yeah. So that's a really great segue, because examples you've brought up are examples of overcoming and having to express fortitude in moments of great uncertainty, it sounds like. What elements from your lives as professional athletes do you think were the most transferable in terms of helping you to be successful on The Amazing Race Canada?
I'd definitely say discipline. This is like a two-part. So discipline and just being able to minimize your emotions. So when I say that, I mean, we've both been through injuries. And the thing with injuries is, yeah, it's tough, but you have to be able to kind of almost put those emotions to the side and then just get to work. When we were on the race, a lot of times we were getting into cabs and they were slowing us down. We would go from like first to like eighth, and then it's like, okay, you got to grind, you got to get back up. So in track and field, you know, Sarah has dealt with her injuries, I've dealt with my injuries. We kind of would just like look back to those moments when we were so far down and out, and we would just kind of align with that and be like, okay, we've been down and out in worse situations. We just have to grind and get through this. And this leads to we had this like awesome motto. It was like, stay in your lane.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. And we would just continue to just look to that. And when you've come from so far, we were just able to basically just use that motto and come back. So in track and field injuries, we just would look back to what we've been through. Yeah.
Again, I think like Sam said, these like words, we picked a word of the day, and I think that helped drive us. So like you said, like the things we do in sport, like that discipline, or I think another really big word for us was that persistence of just like never letting up until we hit the mat and we knew where we were. And that had to come into play many times, because I mean, in the sport of track and field, you train so freaking hard. And then you get like one shot, or maybe you race for 6 weeks, you know, and it takes like a lot of just like grinding and grit. And that is the Amazing Race Canada. Like, you are grinding like leg after leg after leg in hopes of making it to that finale. But you have no idea if you're even going to get there.
Yeah.
And so you're exhausting yourself. You're using every like ounce of energy and grit, and you just are doing it all, seeing the outcomes on like the mini highlights on the step-by-step basis. And so I think just remaining persistent and like never letting our minds wander too far ahead of us, that's like, okay, well, we're going to do this challenge. We're going to remain persistent until someone literally puts us on a flight back home.
Yeah.
And that persistence, I think, helped us win the leg of the race that we did in leg five when we were in Nanaimo. Of like many of the other teams had to take penalties, and we just like kind of grinded it out and found all these the clams that we needed for that challenge, which is so funny. Mm-hmm. But like that, and then even just like leg after leg, we only won one leg of the race, and we never let that defeat us as if like we couldn't be champions, or that we didn't deserve a spot in the finale or whatever it was. Like that persistence, that mindset of just like, nope, keep going until we have to go on a plane.
So I would say the one thing from track and field that really helped us be stronger and be consistent is the ability to reset. So I thought of it like a heat in a final. When you run a heat of the 100 meters or the 400 meter hurdles, you run your best. As long as you're in that final, it's like a new reset. You get to that final, it's anybody's game. That's how we felt after every single leg. Some of the legs, we came like third last, but it didn't matter because the next leg is a new leg. Mm-hmm. If you won leg three, that doesn't mean you're making it to the finale. So it was like heat after heat after heat. And then in that finale, obviously you want to win. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely say that was a big thing. We were able to reset while other teams, a lot of times, would carry their emotions.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to just reset.
And actually I'll continue on that too, because there was a leg of the race where we had a massive travel day where we took a coach bus to Thunder Bay.
Yeah.
And that was comical. But it really kind of destroyed the morale of some other teams because it was a long and like kind of grueling travel. We slept on like the floor of a bus and like you had to. And that's part of the game is like, it's not going to be glamorous all the time. And you do kind of have to like sleep when you can and figure it out. Mm. And some teams were a little bit like bothered by that. And Sam and I woke up like, how do you feel? We're like, pretty good. You feel good? Yeah. Not as bad as we thought. Let's do this. Yeah. And so I think just having that mindset of like, don't let an obstacle that can kind of seem like, oh, well, if I think about this, this wasn't the best sleep, which is not going to let us have the good day. Like we controlled what we could control. And we focused on the fact that like, okay, we have a leg of the race in front of us. Like, let's do this. And I think that was a massive asset we had from sport as well, because you just learn how to control what you can control. And that was a massive advantage.
So keeping that in mind, whether it be like individual challenges that you faced during the show or just the emotional and mental component, what were some of the biggest challenges that you guys had to overcome?
A massive challenge is just the length of the race is really like quite long to be away from everyone you love, to have no connection to the digital world. You have to lose all your devices. Like it helps make the game more challenging and more interesting for the viewers. But it's also like a long time to be completely checked out.
I think one of the toughest challenges is, or ended up being, that every day you didn't know what you were going to get yourself into. This was the ultimate jump out of your comfort zone type of competition. A perfect example for this is, this was our second day, I believe. We were in Revelstoke and we had a roadblock. So what a roadblock is, they'll give you a description. And then you, based off this very simple description, very vague, you have to choose one of your teammates or partners or whatever to take part in it. And it had to do with, remember it said, who likes, you know, hard rocks, like as in geology and stuff like that. So in my head, I'm like, okay, I like hard rock. I ended up having to ride a motorcycle, and I've barely even been on a stationary bike. So I barely can do that. And on top of it, on this bike, it was standard. So it was a really complicated challenge. I was really nervous. Also just being an athlete, just getting hurt. Like this is no joke. This wasn't like a straight line that you're on your bike doing, but you're on like a BMX course with jumps and all these sort of crazy obstacles. So I'll say the biggest challenge was telling yourself that you can do this, telling yourself that you will not get injured, and telling yourself that you're going to come out of this first. So going into this challenge, I was like, I am so incredibly nervous, but I ended up getting through it. And I am so glad I was able to, and I was so glad to have Sarah like cheering me on as I did this. But it's like, you have to be able to get outside of yourself and understand that, you know, we're more than just sprinters on a track. We have other talents. Would I say BMX biking is a talent? No. But at the same time, it's just like, I'm proud that I was able to jump out of that comfort zone. But that was every single day. You're like, here we go. And I have to jump off a building next. Like it didn't add up. So
yeah. And I'll add to that, because when we got onto the race, I was like, oh yeah, great. We know how to deal with pressure. We know how to deal with stress. This is like our daily lives. Mm. We can show up to start lines, have 80,000 people watching us in the Olympic Stadium and deal with that. So I think we got this. But it's like, what I didn't think about is the fact that when you show up to an Olympic start line or World Championships or, you know, even like Scotiabank Marathon next week, you know, you're well fed, you are well rested, you've tapered into that race, you've done everything right to be prepared to deal with the elements and potentially an obstacle or whatever it may be. When you go on the Amazing Race Canada, they are purposefully trying to deplete you of resources and energy and sanity to be able to create like a really interesting scenario. How do you deal with this? And so suddenly we're having to deal with what Sam mentioned, like things we've never done before, a different kind of pressure and stress of just like the chaos you see on TV is the true chaos of the race. Like, it's not, that's not edited. That's not like them trying to make it seem worse than it is. Like, it is panic all the time. And to have to deal with that off of like very minimal sleep and not really eating, because there's no time to stop and like have a nice snack on your way when your minutes turn into hours if you miss a Clif Bar sign up board and you have to take a later flight or whatever it would have been. And so in that sense, it was just like a whole new element to learn how to deal with obstacles at a level of like complete resource depletion.
So this might sound like an obvious question based on what you just said, but do you think that there are things that you learned or circumstances you were faced with during the Amazing Race Canada that are going to make you stronger athletes as well? Like, is there an inverse correlation there?
Yeah, definitely. Being thrown into uncomfortable situations on the Amazing Race Canada definitely makes us stronger as athletes. At this point, there's nothing, in my opinion, that can stress me out. I think having to jump off of a bridge twice... For people who know me, I don't like to do things that risk my life. Like I told myself growing up, I would never jump out of a plane, never jump off a bridge. I would never do deep sea diving. And I've done two of those things now. I just know that I'm like, I feel fearless.
I think that there's something to be said for the fact that like Sam jumping off that bridge, like facing that fear and like him getting to this point now of like, kind of like, okay, well, if I can do that, what else can I do that I didn't think was possible? Similarly, I've had like siblings and people that know me being like, wow, I'm so surprised that when you jumped off the bridge, like, why weren't you like, you weren't that afraid? Like, what was wrong with you? And it was because I had faced my ultimate fear the previous day of swimming under the ice and like just like having a full out panic attack. So then when I got to the bridge scenario, I was like, oh, I have to jump off this. That sucks. But I get to have oxygen the whole time. Like, that sounds great. At any point I can breathe. Cool. So I feel like it is kind of, you take the scenarios that challenge you. And that is like one of the very few times you get to redefine yourself. And so in these moments where Sam's facing a fear, not only once, but twice back to back, like, that's redefining him. And me going under the ice, that's redefining me. Us going through the Amazing Race Canada in general and like the grueling process that was, that will redefine who we are as friends, that will redefine who we are as individuals and Absolutely. Into our track career. And so it's just like, it's a unique experience to say like the best and worst parts were probably the same.
Absolutely. And on top of that, being televised.
Yeah, that's something we haven't even talked about yet. Like, that must have been really bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah.
You eventually get used to having the camera in your face. Like, and especially when you're in race mode, you're so focused on getting through the challenge and wanting to do well, just get the clue and get out of there, that like you aren't super aware of the cameras the whole time.
Yeah.
But given like the brands Sam and I want to represent and make sure that we are being the people that we know we are, you're obviously mindful of like, don't be a fool.
Don't be a fool on TV.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But at the same time, they're there to capture everything. Like, well, one thing I didn't know about myself is the amount of facial, like the reactions that I made. Like, sometimes my eyes get big. Sometimes I'm like hands in my face, like everything you could possibly, every animated reaction that you can have, I basically had throughout the show, whether that was, yeah, jumping off the bridge or being on the motorcycle or even the Lion King challenge. It's just like your face is so animated. So you do at the very beginning notice the cameras there, but then you kind of just, you're trying to win, you're trying to race, and you just get locked in.
So you mentioned there in that last answer that you both have organizations and brands that are meaningful to you that you represent and that you wanted to do them proud. It was very clear during your interviews in the show that a big source of your motivation are those communities. So can you tell us a bit about the organizations that you're a part of and what was meaningful about representing them on national television like this in a way that is maybe different than what you're used to on the track, let's say?
So the one organization that I really pushed, it's called Classroom Champions. And in a nutshell, it's athletes. So athletes, Paralympians, Olympians, NFL players, anybody who is essentially pushing towards a goal, tending to be kind of on the high performance side. We mentor kids virtually. So this was super cool because when I jumped into this program, initially, I thought it was just like, you know, you jump into a classroom, do a 20-minute presentation and disappear. This program enables you to check in with classrooms on a monthly basis, and it creates that continuity. So I'll do a lesson on goal setting, perseverance, steps to success. And being on the show was kind of that moment where I was like, okay, I can put my money where my mouth is. I'm telling these kids, you know, you got to persevere. You got to have courage. Well, I am under a lot of duress, and they saw me basically live out that message. So to be able to like inspire not only these kids, but students, people across Canada, was amazing. And I'm a real big promoter of this organization, because when I had my injury, when I was down and out, these were the kids in my backfield supporting me. The days when I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be back on the track, they would send me personal messages from their class. They sang me happy birthday on my birthday. They sang my mom happy birthday on my birthday. So it's an amazing feeling. So that's one of the organizations that I represent.
And I was on the show hoping to really kind of bring awareness and highlight an organization that I founded that's called the Believe Initiative. And the Believe Initiative is an organization that talks about the importance of being resilient and the power of believing in yourself. And with that, we go into schools all across Canada, and we have them pick a passion that they have and a problem they want to solve. And they use that passion to solve that problem. Because something I noticed through my Olympic experience was that in 2012, I overcame an injury after sitting out for 9 months, and I should have never made it, should have never made the Olympics. And I then overcome this obstacle and I make it to the games in 2012. And it's awesome. But then in 2016, I have all this pressure to like be Sarah Wells, the Olympian. And 2 months before, I tear my hamstring, and I end up missing qualifying by half a second for the 2016 Rio Olympics. And after the 2016 Olympics, I took the year off and I was like, oh my gosh, like I've been telling students everywhere, like you got to believe in yourself. Once you believe in yourself, you can achieve your goals. And I was like, oh my gosh, like am I telling them a lie? Like have I fooled myself and now fooled them? And after sitting like and really reflecting that year, I came to the realization of you don't build self-belief through achievements. You build self-belief through action. And so the Believe Initiative is that program helping students like build self-belief through action. Take a passion you have. What's a problem you want to solve? Guess what? Your strengths, your passions can help solve that problem. And we've seen students do the most amazing things now. They've taken stuff like a girl had a passion for robotics and the problem she wanted to solve was mental health. And she built this starlight is what she called it, where she's 12 years old. She's amazing. And she built this light that emits certain rays of light that then stimulates the happy hormones in your brain and then helps defeat anxiety and depression. And it's just like, it's just so cool that she was able to see that come to life and hopefully will now like spark something that will be far greater than that project ever could have been in isolation. And so being on The Amazing Race and being able to represent that brand of like build self-belief through action, to me, that meant like every time I stepped into a challenge, I had to show them all I was doing was taking action. I could be fearful. Like that doesn't mean I needed to like walk in and be like, okay, I believe in myself, so I am so confident. Like that's not what I expect them to do. What I hope for them is just that like they can be fearful and they can feel like, you know, that voice of self-doubt might creep in. It does for all of us, but that believing in themselves means like being afraid and doing it anyways. And that's what we had to do time and time again. Absolutely. On the race. And so, yeah, as the Believe Initiative grows, I hope that we can be in more schools and try to really bring this message to more communities. And we've been so lucky to speak to over 75,000 students. And hopefully even more now that the exposure has gone on The Amazing Race and continuing to grow from there.
One thing that both myself and Sarah, we pride ourselves on is just like not only talking about our own projects, but also just like inspiring Canadians with our own personal stories. We've both spoken together at different events, but we've also just went into organizations and just pushed the fact of believing in your passion. One thing I love to tell people is that we are more than just athletes. You know, it's one thing to be on the podium. It's one thing to get medals, but what are you outside of that? And we continue to do this. And I think a massive goal of both of ours is to get into those communities, whether they be corporate, whether they be high schools, anybody who's just trying to find that passion. In corporate, it's interesting. You know, we'll jump into these conferences and we'll talk to people and we'll just challenge them. Like, they're going to a job in a car that they don't like. They're going to work at a job that they don't even enjoy, and they're paying for a house that they can't afford. We love to just challenge people to be more than whatever that is, whether that's just your job. Find out how you can either support your community or find out how you can just be happy. And that's a big thing. That's a passion, I would definitely say, of both of ours.
Yeah, that's such an important message. So the Amazing Race Canada has now wrapped up, and you both still have a lot going on outside of track. But with Tokyo 2020 less than 10 months away now, what are your feelings leading into the Olympic year, and what are your goals athletically?
So with the 2020 Olympics on the horizon, it's interesting for me. You know, I made a push for two Olympics and made it in 2012 and then missed qualifying in 2016. And currently I'm doing a ton of speaking and like really trying to grow the Believe Initiative. And so with that, my goals are kind of split. Like I really am straddling the line between what is my capacity to be an athlete and be a founder of this organization. And it's a really interesting place to be because like I didn't know I'd find anything I love as much as the sport of track and field. And I freaking love what I'm getting to do. And so every single day toy back and forth with of like, okay, no, I'm going to go for one more Olympics. And then I go back like, no, I'm going to grow the Believe Initiative. And so I'm really honestly back and forth, like quite frequently. And I really want to get to a place where I'm not retiring because I have to, because my body is shutting down. Like I hope for myself to like get to a place where mentally I feel like I'm retiring because I want to. Mm. And so I'm working on that of like, am I in that place, or what is that going to be and look like? Or is there one more shot? So figuring that out.
That's an amazing answer. You have been inspiring and you will continue to inspire regardless of what your choice is.
Thanks, Sam.
On that, my goals into 2020, when I hear 2020, I'm hungry as hell. I think back to everything that I've accomplished prior. So I've done 3 world championships, 2 Commonwealth games, you know, NACACs for days, done a couple world university games. And I just want to put it all on the line. I'm making a bit of a transition into Calgary, connecting with my old coach, Mr. Les Gramantic. And I'm hungry not only to be on that relay team, but to represent Canada in the 100. They say if you want something, you got to say it out there. You got to put it into existence. So I'm focusing on that. Everything that I've put into speaking stuff in the community, that's going all into the 2020 Olympics. And the people that have supported me are going to continue to push me. I am excited because I feel like I tend to get distracted really easy when I see an opportunity like Amazing Race Canada. I tend to jump onto that, and I spent a lot of time on that show. It took away from training. So this time around 10 months out, like I am hungry, I am stretching, and I am going for it.
A big thanks to Sam and Sarah for chatting with me this week. You can find archived episodes of this dynamic duo competing on the Amazing Race Canada by visiting ctv.ca. We've also included links to the Believe Initiative and Classroom Champions in the write-up for this episode. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Shakeout Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to our show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Fast, fun vibes to everyone racing the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon tomorrow. For those not racing, we'll bring you a recap of all the excitement next week. Happy running, everyone.